gonna be round my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Sprouts. It's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub. It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies.
It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce.
It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems.
Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply.
Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tenny flew right off. I'm red as a bee, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
We are like pomegranates. Ugly on the outside, misshapen, seasonal, but must be broken into to be tasted. The best parts of us are blood-colored, hidden deep in the cells of our flesh. Between bitter white walls, we are small, shy seeds. Juicy as a surprise, succulent, gorgeous. You must work to find out what we taste like. We are like jazz music, the good kind. Best when you close your eyes, stop trying to follow, let the beat meet your heart. The kind with a drummer whose face contorts because his body can't handle how amazing his beats are. And a trumpeter with cheeks blown out and blue for love of the high notes, the notes that need breath so big it stretches his face. The kind you want to dance to that makes you sweat and makes you want to make sounds like, ugh, yeah. We are like grapefruits, heavy in the hand, delicious like an orange, but not like an orange at all. When eating a grapefruit, no other task can be attended to. One must be peeled with full fingernails, skin nudged open through almost bursting openings, waiting to be touched to let the juices flow. To taste a grapefruit, the remains must sit before you, a pile of mass destruction and only delicate, sourly sweet flesh on your tongue. You must be covered in it, juice flowing down your wrists, your chin. You must have bits of grapefruit in your teeth. And put that spoon away. Its serrated edge will only offer sterilized triangles of pulp. You'll miss all the good stuff inside when you have to sit down and take the time to turn one inside out. We are like slugs making sweet love, drawing each other with trails of mucus, climbing trees to hang ourselves down and let our genitals come out to find each other. I saw this once on the Discovery Channel, and it was the most horrifying and beautiful thing I'd ever seen. Male organs meeting outside slimy bodies, intertwining and suddenly fanning out to become the most beautiful slug vagina that could ever be. And I wondered what David Attenborough could ever say about us in a nature documentary with his soothingly British voice looking in on us in our natural habitats when we are making love, ridiculous, covered in sweat and cum, dancing like we only ever hear jazz, its messy riffs, its ugly outsides, and the sexiness of what it peels back to. Like grapefruits, like pomegranates. We are juicy just the way we are. And in the end, we are not like anything else at all, no likeness like enough to do our messes justice. We are human, and that's enough. Good evening. You're listening to Audio Text on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. I am Julie Peters, and I'm bringing you poetry today, as I do every Wednesday. That poem you heard at the beginning of the show happens to be my own. It's still April, it's still Poetry Month, and I'm still participating in the Poem a Day Challenge, so I thought I would subject you to a few of my own pieces this week and this month, so only one more to go, and then you won't have to hear any more from me. But that poem was inspired by the Poem a Day Challenge, which you can find out about on the blog Poetic Asides, and actually, that he's an American writer who has this blog, and he actually posts prompts for writing poetry every week. So if you're interested in checking it out, you can just Google Robert Brewer Poetic Asides, and you can follow along with that too, and maybe you'll get your start in spoken word or page poetry or storytelling or whatever you want to do. You know, it's just, it's about flexing your creative muscles. So, coming up in the show, some very exciting stuff. It's Earth Day, and being forgetful, let's say, I didn't think to make a theme around this week's show, which I totally should have. And part of the reason I chose that poem at the beginning of the show as well is because it's got some slug sex in it, which I did see in a nature documentary once, narrated by David Attenborough. And it's one of those things that makes you think, wow, this is such a beautiful planet, you know, and why would we want to destroy this space where slugs can have this amazing sex? You can YouTube it. It's really incredible. You should, if you haven't already. But before we get to the other non-related to Earth Day things that are going on in the show, I'm going to give you guys a couple of listings. Happening tonight, April 22nd, today is Wednesday, April 22nd, 7:30 p.m. at the ACT Theater, which is 11944 Haney Place in Maple Ridge. Those people have crazy addresses. It's Inside the Writer's Life presentation by humorist Gordon Kirkland, mystery writer Kathy Ace, children's author Annette LeBox, and Brian Antonsen, author of Slumlock's Gold in Search of the Legend. So that sounds pretty exciting. That's in Maple Ridge. April 23rd, Thursday, 7 p.m., that's tomorrow night at the Rhizome Cafe. It's a free event. Author Carla Gunn is launching her new novel, Amphibian. And she's got guest readers Chris Ewart, Sachiko Murakami, and Mary Tilberg. You can get more information about that at www.chbooks.com. That's Coach House Books' website. April 25th, this Saturday, a couple of things happening at the Marriott Pinnacle Hotel, which is 1128 West Hastings Street. The BC Book Prizes Gala is going to be happening. It's an evening honoring BC authors and illustrators, which is part of BC Book and Magazine Week, which I'm going to be talking a little bit about later in the show, but we'll get to that in just a second. Also, April 25th, Saturday, happening at the Purple Thistle, which is kind of a community center art studio kind of thing at Parker and Vernon Street. It's called The Coffee House. It's 8 to 11 p.m. There's going to be free food, coffee, socializing, and of course some poetry. I don't know too much about it, but I think it's going to be, well, what it's been described to me as is a demonstration slam for youth. So it's going to be, I guess, an introduction to youth, to what slam can be. And I'll be there. I'll be there reading some poetry, and so will R.C. Wislowski, who I'm also going to talk a little bit about in just a second. Also, Tuesday, April 28th, at the Railway Club, Two on a Choo Choo, the Dodds and Tierney Poetry Train. Poets Jeremy Dodds, who wrote Crabwise to the Hounds, and Matthew Tierney, The Hayflick Limit, are going to be reading with novelists Chris Ewart, who wrote Miss Lamp, as a part of the Short Line Reading Series. And there's going to be more information about that also at coachhousebooks.com. So coming up right away, I'm going to play for you a piece by Spilius, Trevor Spilgeon. He's one of the finalists that made it to the Vancouver Poetry Slam finals night, which happened this past Monday. And R.C. Wislowski himself, I'm very pleased to mention, was the winner of that night. But there were a lot of really great performers there. Spilius didn't make it on, but I wanted to give him a little airtime because he's a great poet too, and I thought you might enjoy listening to what he had to say. So this is his poem. Hope you enjoy it.
Those chick with the big tits. I'm sure she knows you're full of shit. See, I think she's actually trying to hear these words I spit, because I made them really irresistible. Bye! Is shrinking. The point is, we should be thinking about love and hope and each other and trying to do the right thing a little more often, even if it does take just a little bit more effort. And that's all I really wanted to say, but hey, it's kind of fun to shout! To shout! And to let it all out!
UBC AMS Mini School seeks to provide students and the community an opportunity to learn outside the classroom. Our courses are taught by professional instructors and delivered at the best rates around, starting at $45.
Check this out!
We provide a diverse array of courses, including, but not limited to, pole dancing, photography, guitar, swing dancing, wine tasting, and much, much more. Courses begin in October, February, and May, and typically run for 4 to 6 weeks. Check out www.ams.bc.ca/minischool for registration information.
Turn up loud! Turn up!
That was Spilius, you heard right here on CITR 101.9. Again, I'm Julie Peters, and you're listening to Audio Text. Also, if you want to hear any of the other finalists that I played from last week, if you want to hear some more of R.C. Wislowski's stuff, some of which I played last week and previously on the show, you can always podcast Audio Text either at the CITR website on the grid or through my website, jcpeters.ca. So coming up next, this past weekend I went to the BC Book and Magazine Fair, which was held at the Vancouver Public Library on Saturday. Hopefully some of you guys made it there too. It was a really interesting event. There were just a bunch of publications who were standing up showing off what they were doing and talking to people about what their publications were all about, supporting BC writers for the most part. And so I just went around and chatted with a few of them and asked them what was going on with their publications, which was really interesting, and they were all really nice people. And I'm really glad I got a chance to talk to them. So some of the people I spoke to included Elizabeth Moss, Rachel Knudsen, and Nadia Pastrak from Prism Magazine, Ian Cofield from Event Magazine, and Melissa Edwards from Room Magazine. And you're going to get to hear what they had to say. And I have a couple of more people, too, that I'm going to save for next week. So here's that interview right away. Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit about Prism?
Well, Prism has been around since, well, we're having our 50th anniversary this year. It's Western Canada's oldest literary magazine. It was started by Earl Burney at UBC back in the 50s. And it is committed to publishing new and established writers from Canada and all around the world. We really try to push our mandate by doing more collaborative ventures, like our recent visual art issue has some wonderful graphic pieces in it. And definitely 2009-2010, really good year to subscribe to Prism, because we're going to be doing a retrospective issue with writers who are very well established.
Raymond Carver poetry,
cross our fingers. We're just working on the rights for all of these, but we've published some really amazing writers over the years, Margaret Atwood, etc. So we're crossing our fingers we can get the rights to it, to reprint, and it's going to be a really cool issue.
So is
Is it mostly poetry or fiction or both?
It's poetry, fiction, creative nonfiction. We also do publish screenplay translations as well. But usually our core content is the three, creative nonfiction, fiction, and nonfiction, or sorry, poetry.
Great. And how are you guys involved?
Well, Rachel here is the fiction editor. I'm the poetry editor. So we select the content for the magazine. Nadia here is the executive editor of circulation and promotion.
That's
right. Yeah. And actually, our fourth editor, Dan, who handles the money, is not here today. Yeah, so we split it up into four positions. And we're all four of us are MFA students in creative writing at UBC. Yeah, but we don't publish any writers from our program or any writers at UBC, period, until they've graduated and been gone for 2 years, I believe. So it's not us publishing ourselves. So, yeah, it's just Western Canada's oldest literary magazine.
Yeah. And how do you feel being involved in the BC Book Fair? Is that a good thing for the publication? Have you done it before?
Definitely. In the past, we've been here. The editors and the board switches every year, so it's always a great way to kind of introduce yourself to the magazine community and, you know, as individuals as well as just continuing to promote. So, yeah, it's a great networking opportunity.
It's really nice to meet all the other editors that are working in the city and just being like, hey, we have the same job.
Community feeling.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. There's so many great writers and so many good magazines coming out of Vancouver. Vancouver Reviews right here. Avant is an amazing literary journal.
Thanks so much for talking to CITR tonight.
Yeah, of course.
So just tell me a bit about yourself and your publication and how you're involved.
Okay, I'm Alyssa Edwards, and I'm on the volunteer collective that publishes Room Magazine. We're Canada's oldest literary journal by and for women. We're published here out of Vancouver since 1977, so a long time. We publish quarterly, and used to be known as Room of One's Own, so some people might know it as that. We changed it to Room Magazine a couple of years ago because that's how everyone refers to it anyway.
So how did that get started?
I don't know. It's a long time ago. It was 1977. It was actually the same year it started as the 3D Novel Contest, which is another thing that I do. I manage that one as well. It just seemed to be a really good year for literature in Vancouver because a lot of really interesting literary institutions started up. The Writers' Fest started up that same year, as did the... No, not the Writers' Fest, but the Music Fest. The Folk Music Festival started up. Just a good year. And I think a lot of creative things happening in Vancouver then.
Something in the stars that year.
Something in the stars that year, exactly.
So is Room Magazine, is it mostly poetry, fiction, nonfiction?
Mostly fiction. It's got a lot of poetry. We do actually do publish a bit of creative nonfiction as well, and some book reviews, and we also have some really interesting art by Canadian women in each issue as well.
Great. So what drew you to volunteering for this magazine?
I've just been reading the magazine for a really long time. I read it back when I was in university in the early 90s, and it's just, I really believe in it. I love the magazine, and then I know some of the women who are on the collective, and they invited me to be a part of it, and I'm just happy to join on and help the magazine keep going.
Great. And how's it been being a part of the BC Book and Magazine Festival? Have you been here before?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I used to work for BCAMP, which is one of the organizations that puts the event on, so I used to manage this event way back in the day, and I also once worked for Geist Magazine, so through one thing or the other, I've been here every single year since it started, and it's always good. It's always good to come out and meet people, and so many people come by, I've never heard of the magazines or whatever magazine I happen to be working for that year, so it's the best way I know to get out and meet your readers and meet the writers.
Absolutely. So what's happening in the latest issue?
The latest issue is called In Sad or Singing Weather, and it's just about changing moods.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty interesting issue, and it just come out. It's in the mail as we speak, so we'll just be receiving it next week. So it's nice to have it here on the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, thanks so much for talking to CITR today. So could you just tell me a bit about who you are and what Event is all about?
I'm Ian Cofield, the managing editor of Event Magazine. We're a literary journal published out of New Westminster, and we've been publishing for 38 years now, so we're one of the older ones in British Columbia. We publish poetry, fiction, nonfiction, reviews, notes on writing in every issue. Fairly small circulation. We also run a annual nonfiction contest and a reading service for writers out of the magazine. So reading service is generally with literary magazines, you get very little feedback. You know, if you send in a manuscript, often you just get a reject letter, you know, with the return of it. So for people who want a little bit more feedback, we have this reading service, and what they get is a report of about 1,000 words, plus one or two copies of their manuscript actually marked up, so sort of copy edited, but also comments on the manuscript. It's a great service. It's very good value for the money. There's very few other places in Canada where writers can get feedback like this. You know, perhaps the Writers Union offers that, but we're by far the better priced.
So the covers of these magazines are really beautiful. What's the story behind the photography?
Well, the photography, yes. We've been concentrating on that the last year or two. And we've gone to this sort of wraparound design. So the one photo wraps around the back to the front. And we just look online a lot or go to local galleries looking for photographers. It's a little difficult because of the wraparound, you know, to find photos of that landscape proportion. We've had great luck with the covers, and I think they've helped us out a lot on the newsstand as well.
Yeah. They're eye-catching for sure.
Good. Whole point of the cover.
So thanks so much for talking to CITR today.
You're very welcome.
On May 12, 2009, BC is faced with a provincial election. Students should vote. When we speak up, they will listen.
Vote for candidates who support a reduced tuition to increase access to better education, better transit, and adequate funding to universities.
On May 12, vote in the BC elections.
This is a message brought to you by the AMS External Office, authorized by the AMS, registered sponsor under the Elections Act, 604-822-2050.
Next up, another Vancouver Poetry Slam finalist, Lisa Slater.
Having a nervous breakdown, a how-to guide. First, let someone matter to you. When she tells you she loves you, cry. Then yell. Call your mom. Yell at her too.
Later. So for the next couple of minutes, just the last couple of minutes of the show, I'm going to be reading a little bit of poetry for you, as I always do. I pick a different Canadian poet each week, talk a bit about them, and read a small selection of their poetry. The book I have with me is from the early 1970s, actually. I found this book in the library. It's Four Montreal Poets, and David Solway, who's a poet that I really respect, selected these poets into this kind of small anthology. Because there wasn't a lot of there weren't a lot of publications at the time that were supporting the really good English Montreal writers at the time. So I'm going to be reading a couple of poems from Artie Gold, who is one of his selected poets. Artie Gold, he actually just died recently in 2007. He was a prolific Montreal poet, mostly in the 1970s. And the thing I liked about him is that he's got this kind of fun and unpretentious way of talking about things. He has sort of a fast paced and drug-addled rhythm to his words. He almost trips over himself with the things he wants to say, and I think there's a little bit of the beat poet in him, which I really like, and I feel like there's a lot of spoken word associated with beat poetry. So I thought I'd read a couple of these. The first one is called Poem. The coffee's not made yet. The waters play in happy trails. I've gulped down so many pills these last 2 days. Noises are coming out of my head. In third and fourth person, my lost thoughts sneak over my shoulder, sneak over my shoulder into my head again, burn little messages of recognition in. What needs doing in my life seems determined to recapture me, then like friendly blackmail, oversee to it that the lad lay down equal hours and gutsing it along sober. If it doesn't serve him well, at least it'll serve him right. Dexedrine. The thing they cannot understand how someone might want anything that much with such craving, it scares them to think it endangers their lives immediately, lives dependent on each other's person's predictability. And there is none of this, not even physical addiction, no arrests can be made that would be guarantee their being safe from this intensity, from the intensity of the craving. Also, they get a glimpse of money, what has happened to them. Calendars are very much like snakes and ladders. Tomorrow has no monopoly on our lives. Days are great transvestites, or perhaps the clothing worn to an expensive restaurant. To say, I cannot wait to see my genie, oh, I cannot wait to see my gene, is like a big lie no one will hang you for. What you mean really is that you could wait months or even years to be satisfied if even Susan turned up tomorrow to let you have it. Calendars are the Bar 30 brand that slaked across my logic, and weekends are a lot more like rodeos than riding range. Heaven is a tumbleweed thrown to us by Spanish priests who wear long black suffering looks and robes that cowboys would feel awkward in and stumble off their horses in the darkness of that tricky footwork. Poem beginning on half a line of Spicer's. The trouble with comparing your life to a ball game is that a dead fool would have no obituary, but a ball, even when lobbed, shows a token amount of revolution. The trouble is the hot dogs and whatnots we treat ourselves to extemporaneously. The trouble is one of demonstrating suitable analogy. We endure only once. The trouble is the tragedy that even well-chosen our analogy will not delay a game indefinitely. The trouble is popcorn vendors and game officials. The question becomes one of recourse, and here even heroes show unimpressive scores. The trouble with contesting is that in life we are constantly out-contested, constantly unaware of our being out-contested. The trouble with belief in this and in experience is that it comes as intellectual sentiment and is never useful to us when a shutout has already decided the game. Baseball is still interesting, carried past the second inning. Down below. Drifting further than casual sleep, their grandmother stiffened in her chair, to be discovered in the morning, her flesh gray-white, draping bones like masts of deserted rafts involved with sailcloth, while Channel 12 commercials advised her dead sensibilities to buy name brands, which she had awakened that she would have bade her daughter to do. Sand covered the floor about the hard wooden chair, but her spirit didn't rise up from her body. It sat too tired, and she was removed in the morning by a slow ambulance that might have walked into its garage, holding her hand had she been able. There were no vague circumstances about the stiff they'd kept in the little room overnight, knowing her rocking chair was no longer active. She was removed without pretense before her bones might creak and clatter onto the hardwood, frightening the children in the next room. The morticians would be damned if they couldn't get her tired old face and customary smile. So those were just a few poems from Artie Gold. The book is called Four Montreal Poets, selected and edited by David Solway. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed the whole show. It's always over too quickly. Sam Squanch's Hideaway is coming up next. If you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at audiotechcitr@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be seeing you next week.
carnival time. That was confusion. I see a man in crime. Beating for no woman. So she took him whiskey and she gave him to Harry. So she took him money and she gave to Archie. Then she take him rum and she gave it to the mom. It's Nixie. It breaks you. Then him licks you. It ramps you. It jumps you.
She was underwhelmed, if that's a word. I know it's not, 'cause I looked it up. That's one of the skills that I learned in my school. I was overwhelmed, and I'm sure of that one, 'cause I learned it back in grade school when I was young. She said you were funny, I said you are funny. She said thank you, and I said with the cars. I told her that I don't smoke or drink.